Please turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Luke 1:57, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her. They rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And they asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. We have a group of ladies in the church going through a book called The Search for Significance. That's the title of it, right? I have not read the book, but it is certainly something that's at the core of human beings, that we have an inward desire to be significant, to be somebody. And all too often, of course, in the world, the characterization, the way in which that's worked out, the manner in which people search for significance is that they seek to find significance by making themselves significant, by promoting themselves, by thinking about how great they are. The old characterization of this is that, you know, I'm good enough and smart enough and doggone it, people like me. And that's how people, you know, you self-promote. And this is where significance is to be found. And we see here tonight the story of a family, a small family, a family that had gone for years with only a father and a mother, and now we see a child added. And we see that they, as a family, found their significance not in who they were, but in what the Lord had done for them and in glorifying God. And so they took their focus off of themselves, off of their own family, and switched that focus to God. And they together rejoiced and glorified God in what He had done. In a similar way, we can learn from them and we can find that our significance in life comes from the fact that God has condescended to, in the person of Christ, to make us significant. And then we find our significance as we rejoice in the significance of Christ, and as we praise the Lord for what He has done for us. Probably there's no one in the room tonight who's familiar with the names Britt Gaston and Cliff Courtney. Britt Gaston and Cliff Courtney. In fact, I'd never heard their names before last night, but I think a majority of you would actually know who these men are. Whether you would know who these men are is, these are the two guys, if you're a baseball fan at all, you've seen photographs or footage of Hank Aaron running the bases after he hit his 715th home run. And on that night, as he circled the bases, so he came around second base toward third, two high school boys, actually about 17 years old, ran out of the stands and circled the bases the rest of the way with him. And consequently, in all the famous pictures of Hank Aaron running the bases from this major home run where he passed Babe Ruth, we have a picture of Britt and Cliff running alongside Hank, slapping Hank on the back. Britt and Cliff never got to circle the bases on their own in Major League Baseball. They had no future in Major League Baseball whatsoever, and so they had no significance. But they found significance by being a part of the significance of Hank Aaron. And in a similar way, we could make the point that Zacharias was really insignificant in the nation of Israel. Elizabeth had not brought any children into the world. Their name was not going to live on. Even John the Baptist, he was not going to be significant in Israel, except for all three of these people, for this entire family. They found significance in Jesus Christ and being attached to him. We see, first of all, in the case of Elizabeth, that significance comes through the grace of God in making us and giving us fruit. Elizabeth was a woman who would have been considered as having a very low condition in the nation of Israel, because she had been unable to bear children. And finally, now the Lord has granted to her to have a baby. And so the fullness of time comes forth and she brings forth her son. Now, ladies, you should feel sorry for women of the biblical era, because the writers in the biblical era are very clear that pregnancy then, the medical records clearly show pregnancy was a 10-month endeavor, not just a 9-month endeavor. You might say, well, how's that happen? You know, has the human body changed so much? Well, no, that's because they were on a lunar calendar. So every month was 28 days, and so you can squeeze in a few extra weeks and end up with your 10-month gestation period. And so Elizabeth went the full 10 months, and she brings forth her son, and the neighbors and relatives hear, and they rejoice with her, and they have a diaper shower for the new proud parents, and they're excited and shower them with gifts and with excitement. And so it's a time of rejoicing. But what we find is that what they were rejoicing in was the fact that the Lord had shown great mercy to Elizabeth. And what that tells us about Elizabeth is that Elizabeth made sure that the focus was not on her and on her accomplishments, but that she made sure that people understood that the Lord had done this for her, that it was God's care and his mercy that had made her fruitful. And Elizabeth is just one and a prime example at the dawning of the New Testament age of the fulfillment of Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. And Zacharias and Elizabeth, up until this time, they were a picture of the nation of Israel, just barren and waiting for the goodness of God. But God in his goodness made Elizabeth fruitful through his grace. And Elizabeth was able to find her significance in God's grace in making her fruitful. And for us as the people of God, our search for significance, one of the stops along the road in our search for significance needs to be finding significance in the good works that God allows us to do, and the fruitfulness that God's and His mercy allows us to participate in, and the fruits of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And sadly enough for us, as we go about our good works in this life, we find ourselves thwarted by a lot of the flesh and a lot of pride telling us, you know, you're significant because you are doing these things. Instead of us being willing, along with Elizabeth, to say, I am significant because the Lord has shown mercy to me and giving me the ability to show forth these fruits of the Spirit. And so as we are enabled to find significance through fruitfulness, we must always remember John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So along with Elizabeth, we have to remember that apart from the mercy of God, apart from God making us fruitful, that we can do nothing. But we are to find significance through God's grace in making us fruitful. And that's Elizabeth. We also see here, if Elizabeth was supposed to find her fruitfulness in that society by bringing children into the world, then the husbands, the men, we know from antiquity, were to find their significance in the naming of their offspring after them. That the expectation was that the firstborn would be named after the father. That was the common thing in that day and age. But Zacharias, instead of finding his significance in the naming of his son after himself, finds his significance in exalting God for what God has done for him. Of course, this, as the child is going to be named, this was an opportunity, a time for a man to establish his legacy. You might think of Psalm 49 in this regard, about people giving their names to their lands with the hope of lasting fame. And so in a similar way, you know, if I give my son my name, then that'll give me a lasting legacy. Now, that being said, that this is not the Bible does not forbid us from naming children after us. That's not a sin problem in and of itself. But the point is here that Zacharias, by the command of God, exalts God's name instead of his own in the naming of his son. And they come to this day of the circumcision, and the scene's painted here. You take your son to be circumcised, presumably in the temple, although some of this would have taken place possibly in a local synagogue as well. And they bring John there, and they're getting ready to name John Zacharias, this little baby, and they're going to name him Zacharias. And apparently, since Zacharias couldn't speak, you know, you might have had a male representative on behalf of the family who would be speaking for the family. And so he's getting ready to give this child the name Zacharias. And Elizabeth says, no, hold on. No, his name is going to be John. But the relatives don't really buy this. They think that maybe this is Elizabeth taking her opportunity, since her poor husband is afflicted with being mute, to get the name that she wanted all along instead of the right and proper name that Zacharias would want. And so they don't just take Elizabeth's word for it. They make signs to Zacharias, and he writes there on his tablet, no, John is going to be the name. And so that is the name that is given. And John, of course, means Jehovah is gracious, or God is gracious. What Zacharias is saying here is, the key thing is, I don't want to be remembered for who I am. I want the Lord to be exalted. What I want to be remembered here is God's grace in sending us a son and in giving this son a purpose in the world. And so Zacharias rejoices and exalts God and finds his significance not in himself, but in God and in God's grace toward him. What we find then is that Zacharias, after obeying God in this way, that God immediately removes the chastisement that he had placed on Zacharias. A little over 9 months earlier, Zacharias, because of his unbelief, had been afflicted with deafness and muteness. And now the Lord, because Zacharias evidences his repentance and his belief in the promises of God, God restores his ability to speak. And Zacharias is filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesies and speaks in verses 68 and following. This statement of prophecy by Zacharias is probably unique in world history. I have the privilege as the pastor here. We have a number of people who have first time babies, and I often get to be the first one at the hospital, other than the parents, because people are living away from family, and so I get there and get to be there with the first time parents, maybe 5 hours or 3 hours or so after a baby's born. But, I find what Zacharias says here to be quite unique, because I've never been met by one of the new fathers of our church. So the fathers who love the Lord, clearly. I've never been met by one of these fathers saying, you know what, there's the coolest kid down in the nursery. You've got to go and meet somebody else's son. You know, there's a really cute baby born just a few hours after our baby came. Don't worry about our baby. I want to show you this other baby down here in the nursery. That's who you really need to meet. This kid is going to be special. You know, don't worry about our kid. This kid is going to be the one to keep your eye on, Pastor. Keep track of him throughout the course of his life. No, that's not what first-time fathers do, is it? First-time fathers show off their baby, and they're excited for their baby, and legitimately so, about what the Lord has done for us. Here's what God has given to us. But what does Zacharias do? He understands that our kid is not really the big deal here. That the big deal here is that God is going to send his son into the world. And he's a lot more excited about a baby who's going to be born in about 6 months after this than he is about his own child. And so the first words out of his mouth have nothing to do with John. They have everything to do with the coming of Jesus Christ. And so he rejoices that God has visited and redeemed his people. God has remembered his promises to us. He's raised up for us a horn of salvation in the house of his servant David. Once again, Zacharias, what house and family are Zacharias and Elizabeth in? They're in the family of Levi. But instead here, he's exalting it. Hey, don't worry about the Hanson baby. You ought to be paying attention to the family of David, this other family over here. That's where the action really is. And he goes on then to praise God. This is a fulfillment of what God has spoken through the prophets who've been prophesying since the past ages, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Zacharias, by faith, believes that just as God told him that his son would be a forerunner to the Messiah, that as God has kept his word to do that, that God will send the Messiah. And furthermore, of course, Zacharias has interacted. Mary has been in their home in the last few months at this point. Elizabeth was pregnant about 6 months. Mary shows up pregnant, and she's there about 3 months. And so for the end of this pregnancy, Mary and Zacharias and Elizabeth are rejoicing and praising the Lord. And so he rejoices in the fact that God has sent his son and is in the process that Christ will be born. And so Zacharias finds his significance in rejoicing in the salvation of God and being enamored with Jesus Christ. We have to ask ourselves if that is our life pattern. Is that where you find significance? Are you enamored enough with Jesus Christ to say, God, just get me out of the way and let people see Jesus Christ in me? It's more important that people glorify Christ and that they know about my achievements, about my family's significance. It's more important that people would honor Christ and that they would honor any of my contributions to the world. And do you say, along with Zacharias, it's enough for me just to lift Christ up? The more that He is exalted, the better it is. We mentioned earlier about the fact that people try to find significance by exalting themselves and seeing how special they are and how great, you know, that my accomplishments. But one of the problems with that, one of the reasons why that at the end of the day is unfulfilling to people, is that when you exalt yourself, when you make yourself the focus, what you're really confronted with is seeing just how puny you are. Just how in many ways unspecial we are. And you know, it can drive you to despair trying to see how great you are. However, instead, as we exalt Jesus Christ, we find that we're so wrapped up in His significance, that in His significance, that we can find significance. Just like Britt and Cliff. Right? They had no significance of their own. Neither one of them would ever even play minor league baseball, let alone ever hit their own major league home run. Well, in a similar way, we in and of ourselves are insignificant. But yet as we are with Christ, as we're exalting Christ, we too find significance. So Elizabeth and Zacharias find their significance in what the Lord has done for them and in the working of the Lord. And Zacharias, we don't get to really meet John per se. We don't get to find out a lot about John's life here. But Zacharias prophesies about the life work of John. And he prophesies that John's significance in life is going to come not from who John is, but from John serving Christ. Zacharias, in essence, wants his son. He prophesies, my son is going to be the snowplow. My son is going to be the police car at the front of the motorcade that clears the way for the important person to come through. Once again, this is not something that we typically find with fathers, especially with first-time fathers. Our sons are playing Little League this year, and the Fentons were just telling me this week about a team that Adam was on where one of the sons of one of the coaches on the team liked to pitch and thought he could pitch, but couldn't pitch and would just go up there and throw ball after ball after ball and make for extraordinarily long and difficult games. But his father, you know, is so proud of his son's ability and so wants him to be a great pitcher that he leaves him on the mound for, you know, pitch after agonizing pitch of this. Well, Zacharias, and so that father desperately wanted his son to be the pitcher, you know, to be the guy holding the ball. Well, Zacharias is not concerned that his son be the pitcher. He's happy to have his son be the bat boy. He's happy to have his son not be the running back, but to be the blocking back, to be the one who prepares the way for Jesus. That's significant enough and great enough work for my son. And he rejoices here. You, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, and you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins. Where is John going to find significance? Not in his own great work, not in the fact that he in and of himself is significant, but in the fact that he gets to announce the coming of Jesus Christ. And the fact that he gets to proclaim that we, verse 78, have been visited by the day spring. The sun is coming up. He's like the herald who gets to announce the sunrise. The night is over. Jesus has come. And that is what makes John significant. God is sending His Son, and I get to announce it. Interestingly enough, the life path that God had laid out for John, the significance that he was going to find, we see in verse 80, was not an easy path. Finding significance with the Lord does not mean that your life is going to be easy and pleasant. And in fact, for this family, it may well have meant that as a family that they encountered difficulties and pain. Because it would appear from the text that John largely did not grow up at home with his parents. That the Lord, that the Holy Spirit drove John into the wilderness to be taught by the Spirit of God to prepare him for his work of preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Zacharias and Elizabeth were old people. They probably would have liked to have had a son around the home to take care of them. We're getting up there in years. We don't want to have to mow the grass ourselves anymore. We don't want to shovel the snow anymore. It'd be nice to have this good young back around to do these home maintenance projects for us. And yet this family found significance, each one of them, in being willing to serve the Lord. And in the same way, we need to find our significance through making Christ significant, through letting other people know what the Lord has done for us, that God has condescended to you. He's condescended to you to make Himself known to you. And your significance comes not through anything internal to yourself, anything about who you are. It comes through God's care for you. And then as you reflect that, and as you praise Him and exalt Him and serve Him in that, and rejoice in the salvation that He has accomplished, that is where significance comes for the believers. If you're struggling with significance, there are times in our lives where we really can struggle with significance. Why did God make me? What's my purpose in life? What's special about me? If you're struggling with those things, learn from this family, the family of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Ask the Lord that He would allow you to find significance in bearing fruit for Him. Ask God to allow you to find significance in exalting His name. And ask God to allow you to find significance in making Christ known, even as John found significance in that. And people of God, your significance comes through being enamored with Christ and then making Him significant, making Him known to the peoples of the world. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that too often that we search for significance in ourselves or in the things of this world. And Lord, we know from experience, some of us more painfully than others, just how empty that can be, just how depressing that can be to puff up ourselves and then just to see how empty and that exercise is. And so, Lord, we ask that You would cause us more and more to find our significance in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for sending Christ into the world to save us, and to make us a people who can bear fruit, to make us a people who can praise Your name and who can proclaim You. And so, Lord, help us to find our significance in You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.